Welcome back to Podcast Recovery, everyone. I am your host, David O, and today's a little bit of a special podcast. I have four of my best friends, oldest friends in recovery in the studio with me, and I'm just going to go round table around the left to right clockwise. So tell us your name, how long you've been clean.
Brad, been clean 10 years.
Fantastic. Donnie?
I'm Donnie. I've been clean 12 years.
I sort of, ruined that one.
What the fuck?
I'm mad I got two. Oh,
that's funny.
We should have started, switch seats with Brad. We fucked up.
That's crazy.
And you, sir?
I'm Nathan, and I have 9 years. I'll have 10 in a month.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'll have 9 in a month.
Wow.
Brad's got more than me.
Good. We didn't want to mislead our listeners there. That's solid.
Yeah.
Eric, what about you, buddy?
What?
He doesn't have a mic. Sorry. Eric has...
I heard you sound real proud of yourself about, I am the host. I am the host.
Yeah, there's normally two hosts, and I'm the only host today, so fuck you.
Just to clarify.
And Eric, the Wizard of Oz, always behind the curtain doing his amazing shit, so we should always give more money to the Patreon
job,
to him.
Yay!
We don't pay attention to
behind the curtain. So,
you actually can't see him.
As we were so... I guess unceremoniously monikered in our early recovery, we were the Wolf Pack. I don't know. I think Sharon started that with a meme. We got memed.
Yeah, like before memes were.
Before
even.
Meme, we were memed before memeing was cool. Well, actually, this fucking guy was one of the original memes. He had his face in between circle of boobs, and that was in like 2007. So. Compliments to you, sir. Yeah,
and for our listeners who don't know who David's pointing at, I'm Nathan.
Yes.
And I am the Circle of Boobs guy.
Yeah, Circle of Boobs guy, if you ever want to
That's Nathan,
get
C-O-B.
That. So what I wanted to talk about is mostly building relationships and recovery and just sort of our own antics throughout the years and how we all got to find each other. But what I wanted to start with first was... I just want to go around and you have to compliment the person to your left. We're going to start with Brad because I know it makes him uncomfortable.
Oh, shit.
Donnie, you have nice pectoral muscles.
Thank you.
It's really
You're
good. Welcome.
Really? Anything recovery related?
That means a lot.
I don't know. Recovery related? Donnie's got a strong recovery. he's the most even keel, genuine guy out there. You know, good friend. Shows up. No matter what, whenever I need to move a couch, he's there.
What are you saying, Eric?
You guys are sitting in front of the mic as I stood up. Both of you are in front of it.
What does
you
that
two,
mean?
Be behind the mic so you can talk into it.
I am behind the mic.
No,
you need to be clear about your direction.
Get closer. There you go.
Can we cut that out?
Oh, I said cut that.
Yeah. Eric, cut it, cut it. Bleep it. Start that compliment over, too.
Yeah. All right.
In fact, give me a different compliment.
Okay.
No.
Donnie's recovery is as strong as
Did
his
you pause it, Eric,
muscles.
Or are we still
yes,
going?
Yes, that's
going.
A good compliment.
Okay, Donnie.
All right. Yes, all right.
You're up.
Yeah, so for Matt, Matt's always one of the people that I'm always super excited to see, you know? And he's got a personality that, I haven't seen equaled anywhere, you know? And his resilience, god damn. So resilient of a person.
I have not died.
I mean, whether that be
many attempts,
whether that be your own, by virtue or your own personal strengths. I mean, anytime I see him, I'm so glad Matt's here. no matter the setting, you know what I mean.
Oh, I'm so glad. It's good. We're not looking down on this son of a bitch. Right
by
now.
That I mean,
thank you.
You bring such joy to whatever setting you're in. So. That's for you.
All right.
Thanks, Donnie.
What you got, man?
Nathan has nice pectorals, for sure.
He does.
Shrank.
They used to be better, yeah.
They really did.
Yeah.
Wives, you know?
Yeah.
Wives,
kids.
Children.
Kids.
Yep.
Kids.
Yep. Children's.
Yeah. Sorry, we cut you off.
Yeah, no. Nathan is one of my oldest friends, most consistent, intelligent, well-read, yeah, I think he's just Probably he's just been the same since I've known him.
Mm-hmm.
From the first day shaking on detox until now.
Yeah.
Like in like with a, you know, like he's a better man than then, I guess. But like, you know, lots happened in his life. But like, yeah, there's just there's some value to like just seeing. It's just like, yeah, Nathan Cook is worth knowing.
Yeah.
You know, he's a human being worth knowing.
I got the best compliment.
That's high Shit. Praise. That's high praise.
I'm giving him a knee slap for that.
No, Donnie killed me.
Don't touch me.
Donnie killed me. Don't touch me. No, yeah. Thank you. And David, one of the things I admire about him most is...
I didn't realize how awkward this was going to be hearing yourself talked about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, it's affirmation. Affirmation's tough, but it's funny because when people pay you compliments like this, you remember it.
Mm-hmm.
You remember it for years. Like, I remember a guy who paid me a compliment about who I am.
All right, fuck that guy. Get back to me.
Are you talking about
when I worked for the last
this
company?
This guy works for Tall.
I mean, I worked for this company. He's like,
oh, the one I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember?
Yeah. Yeah, that one. For years. I mean, it's been seconds or minutes. But no, he paid me a compliment like 6 or 7 years ago. I still remember it, you know? And when I see it in other people, I then let them know. Because, you know, that affirmation is important. But anyway, David's ability to connect with everybody and stay connected and his, like, it takes a lot of effort. And now you have a kid and you're still doing it. Look, you're doing this Wolfpack thing, right? Yeah. So, I mean, I really, really admire that. I really, really, truly do. And, yeah, you've been consistent too, of course. You know, you've been very consistent this whole time. And your growth... like all of us, it's great, man. I mean, just like who really David is, you know what I mean? Who, mm-hmm. you know, it takes some years, took me some years. Same for all of us, but yeah. Who really David is.
Yeah.
I love him. I grow on you like a fungus.
can't get rid of him.
It's like, Brad.
Fucking tumor.
Brad's such an important part of this area. Like, he is one of the first people that just opens his door to pretty much anybody and everybody. Like,
yeah.
You are like the recovery home in this area. Like, you used to host these crazy holiday parties all the time, and it, like, as a Wolfpack, that was like, oh, we're all meeting at Brad's, what time, blah blah blah, and that's where the jump off point was. And you second guess yourself a lot, and I don't think you should, because you're doing the right things for 12 years now. Like, dude, you're killing it.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Brad's a second guesser, but his actions speak louder than his words. Like, he's not, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like, that's, I'm not to contradict you.
No,
I'm
no,
sorry.
No, no, no,
I'm
no.
just, I'm trying to add to it. Cause I, yeah. you know, I have the same admiration for him. Cause he mm-hmm. was there for all of us at our, like, yeah, except for Donnie, 12 years over here. What the fuck? I guess Donnie was here for you, right?
Donnie, yeah, he's also there.
this is our predecessor. Like, yeah.
Jesus. Donnie's
what do we do, Donnie?
Predecessor?
What do we do?
Predecessor.
But there is something to that. Like, you need the guy. Like, everybody has their roles. Like,
yeah.
Especially in this realm of, like, recovery, whatever. But, like Brad's, like, the on the firing line, taking the guy who's a day clean or less
yeah.
into his home and just mm-hmm. doing stuff with him, just inviting him along. I was one of those guys. Like, he would just invite me along to shit when nobody was inviting me places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
As they should have.
Like, and like, I know.
It's important. He's an action man.
An action man. Which is...
Humility is a big... I look at him, I'm like, that humble motherfucker.
And I remember...
With his beard.
Back in the day, we were assigning those roles.
The beard is humble, too.
All yeah. At least I know I wanted the wild card. That's what I wanted. Just wild card
mm-hmm.
bitches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope that's still the case.
I think I always wanted the looks. But yeah. I don't think I just...
I mean, you're sitting next to the worst person for that.
Okay? Yeah, yeah. This handsome
you
guy.
You son of a bitch.
He's very handsome.
Okay, now I'm uncomfortable. Let's, you
know. Your eyes are like listening to pet sounds.
I'd be like...
Oh, God.
Okay, that's a great
compliment. Like,
that's a great compliment.
To me, that's a really great compliment. Thank you.
All right.
Let's move on. I believe
it's all right.
John Day is on that record, right?
So...
It is.
Yeah. I want to name. So we're going to start with you, okay. Donnie, on
yes,
this
sir.
One.
Yes, sir.
What's a difficulty you had in early recovery forming relationships?
First off, thank you for the question.
this isn't a fucking presidential debate, dude. Oh, that's a lovely question.
I just like thank the Academy. So right. So yeah, forming relationships early in recovery was just like. Well, you come into the community and you see all these new people and you're just like, you know, who was the good person to know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who should I talk to? Who can I trust?
Mm.
You know, And I think what happened is as I continued to went to go and be involved and get introduced to, you know, hundreds of or dozens and hundreds of people, you know, you kind of figure that out, you know, so you kind of have to, who you see most consistently, who you see like practicing what they preach.
Yeah.
You know, they could be in a meeting sharing a great message and then outside the meeting being a real scumbag, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of have to use your better judgment, which, you know, trial and error, you know. Some people seem great, some people don't. But I think the biggest struggle would be to kind of be able to let people in. And I still have that problem today a little bit, you know, because my circle is small and I've gotten comfortable.
You're actually looking at your circle. This is it.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there's other people in it too. Yeah, but like... just being able to let people in, because so for so many years prior to getting clean, my circle was very small. It mm-hmm. was very small, it probably like about this size, mm-hmm. you know. Oh, and yeah. And I was so used to that. And so when those people were no longer a part of my life, it's like, wow, I need to replace them, basically. And I did. You know, it took like I said, you know, not to, you know, accentuate the fact that, you know, I've been clean the longest here. But
oh, that was humble brag.
But like, that. But it took a couple, because you all came in a little bit later, mm-hmm. and so there was a time in the interim where there was I was still trying to just figure it out. You know, who are the people I want to roll with?
I know you were always hanging out with Nick P. I was like, oh, Jesus. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Nick and I were he was a great example.
Love you, Nick P. If you're listening.
Yeah, Nick was a great example of a person to know early in recovery, mm-hmm. because he was all about having a good time and. And that's what I needed. So, to summarize, in conclusion, the biggest struggle with forming a relationship early in recovery is just being open minded enough to let people in and become part of your network.
Yeah.
So,
wow. What about you, Matt? What were your difficulties?
I'm sorry. Phrase it again.
Donnie was talking. No.
Yeah, I heard him say, was he?
The funny part.
No, okay. What were my difficulties coming in?
Yeah, forming relationships.
When? Which time?
Pick one.
I really that's the thing. I haven't had trouble forming relationships.
Okay.
Speak on
that.
What about
I've been profoundly
really honest in those relationships.
So I've been like way overpaid as far as like my opportunity and like getting connected with you guys, like Donnie out the break 12 years ago. Like, you know, because there was a big problem with me early on. And so, like, I was getting shoved into recovery stuff early. But, you know, I've been incredibly overpaid by, like, being surrounded by guys like you. You know, Justin Shipe out the break, you know. And then the community's sense, like, each time I've returned and this time especially, like just been incredibly fortunate to. It seems like I've been taken care of by something that, you know, isn't by my own hand, because again, like I just feel like, you know, like when I'm hanging out with you guys, it's just like I don't know how I have been so fortunate with my time on this earth to just run into these fantastic people, you mm-hmm. know. It in my case, like being surrounded by the best best kind of people. I'm just gonna touch you.
Donnie and Matt are sharing a mic.
So being surrounded by the best kind of people has never had the like needed power to keep me clean. Mm-hmm. You know. However, like I've been incredibly fortunate every time I return that I have you guys, plus this community that grows and grows and grows. And you know, every piece and part has played like an incredibly important factor in like the building of me getting from wherever the hell I was to wherever the hell I am now. Mm-hmm. You know, which is alive, sober, pretty happy about it.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So I just like as for the difficult part, I don't remember it being difficult. I was mm-hmm. difficult. You know what I mean? Yeah. I am always difficult, mm-hmm. you know? And so I've just been incredibly fortunate.
Mm-hmm. Nate, man, Nate Dog.
Dude, that's, I feel kind of similar to Matt in that.
Well, cause you also changed areas.
Yeah.
So you've had to like form a whole new brand. Yep. Halfway through your recovery.
Yeah, and it kind of, the ability to roll with that, I mean, I love it how we can get together like this, how we are right now. I mean, this kind of proves it, you know, and we're picking up right where we left off. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like true friends. And we got families and stuff now too. So it's COVID kind of set things back. Eric and I were talking about that. Screwed up the timeline, really. But, you know, I feel like there is a neglect in some areas, especially with the relationships in this around this table. But not only just not necessarily neglect of you, but neglect of what I would get from the relationships with each one of you, because I get so much from it. And, you know, I remember having to let Kyle go. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I guess I kind of put that into practice when I moved to a new area to kind of like, you know, well, I made some new friends too there, of course, but you know, these relationships I really cherish. I really cherish you guys. I do. And I need to stay connected with you. And, I'm making a vow right now to do that, more from this point on. But, anyway, I've been lucky too, man. I'm one of those guys who can make friends easy. You know what I mean? Like I can walk into a room, start a conversation. And the more and more clean I get, the more and more I obsess about, you know, little topics that I like to obsess about, listen to podcasts, you know.
Aliens.
I feel like my life is like aliens.
One topic at a time.
Yeah. I feel like my life is like an unrecorded podcast because I listen to so many damn podcasts. Like I view life in like episodes of podcasts. But anyway.
What's your take on elk jerky? No,
sure we could do a whole 45 minutes on elk jerky.
Yeah. Don't get me started on fucking elk jerky.
No. So I don't know shit about that, but I know some things. Like, but that's the thing. Like, you know, as I get to res recovery goes, I get obsessed on these little topics, and I can learn about, you know, certain things, and I can hold myself in different conversations with different people, and you know, and I have a job that allows me to be put in front of different people, so that. I get a lot of practice talking and forming relationships. So I'm lucky like Matt too. Like that's honestly, it's funny you say that because that thing that guy affirmed about me, I talked about like 6 or 7 years ago, whatever.
Who's this guy and what did he say?
His name was Joe Miller and he's actually a pastor in a nearby church in Catonsville here. Hmm. Yeah. He was in school for, is it theology? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And he was working for a company I was, and he was transitioning to like a more like, I don't know, like this is like a different role where he was more of a mentor. And he said, he was like, Nathan, people lie awake at night wishing that they had the ability you do to walk in a room and to confidently talk to anybody and walk yourself through a social situation. And yeah, it stuck with me forever. Like it still does. And I'm like, wow. And it's true. Like in here, I may be thinking differently in my own head. I'm like, oh God, like
of course,
cringing certain times. Yeah. And I'm sitting in the truck, like this effing person, like, you know, I gotta go in this house or go in this building, you know, and talk to this person. But that's cause you gotta be a professional too in a workplace. So, but
you can
anyway,
say fuck on here. We
don't have to. Yeah, I think I have. I don't know why.
any given situation in general, the mind will do that where it's just like, ugh.
But I go in there and it's like something clicks and I'm just going through the motions, you know, and just trying to hold a conversation, get it done, get the heck out, you know, in a professional situation. But yeah, like when I'm, you know, in a social situation, it's the same thing. But yeah, there's always something to talk about with somebody, and there's always a way to connect, you know. There's just always. So mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. Before I start rambling.
For me, like in early recovery, I had – to my left and my right, I had Brad and Nathan, who were my predecessors. Brad was at my very first meeting and said, oh man, I've been waiting to see you here. And I was like, I didn't know what that meant.
Oh, I forgot about that. Such a...
At the time, I was so
you were fucked up.
Dude, I took it so indignantly at the time. I was just like,
that was just my ego just trying to sound profounder.
Because you, like, in addiction, you were my meter stick that I was okay. As long as Brad was more fucked up than I was, I'm fine. I was like, he has a fucking... I was like, I need to worry about Brad. Brad's going to die. Like, he's sitting there taking his pulse on a fucking... bare mattress, and I'm like, okay, I'm not that bad. I'm not Brad bad, so I'm okay.
I could feel that too. I definitely could. That was that guy for you. I could tell. I was all right with being that guy too.
Yeah.
But how much power is in that? Is that guy saying to you, like, we've been waiting for you?
Oh, it was
like to create an atmosphere of home in a second.
Totally like invaluable. He's that guy. Like I said in the first part, with the newcomers, Brad will always take that first step. And it was so good to have those two safety blankets coming in. But like one of the first, but like I hit out at the midnight meeting for like a solid like month and a half, 2 months. I wanted to keep it small. And Kim and Brad were like, no, come to Gainesville. And I was just really reluctant to do that. And then I did that. Now I'm a fish in a bigger pond. I didn't really know people. There was lots of cliques back then. It was a huge meeting. I was like, what the fuck? And one of the very first people that talked to me was Eric. So it was very much like sort of a snowball effect, kind of like Donnie said. Like the longer you go, the more momentum you pick up, and you just sort of get better at it. And I guess knowing me, you wouldn't think that I would have that sort of mindset of standoffishness, but like I still had that fucking suit of armor on from addiction. So it was really a process of taking that wall down to let people in and really have these genuine relationships. And it took a while. Like it's not like week one, day one, like the wolf pack was like, hey, let's all fucking go down to DC and fucking have a good time. Like, it was piece by piece, relationship by relationship, we came together and we all moved forward. But yeah, it's very much a process of undoing my own thinking to get out of my own way in those relationships, because it 9 times out of 10 it's not the other person, it's me. And mm-hmm. So I need to recognize that and be able to adjust to that and move forward.
You kind of have to just like let them form. You know, mm-hmm. Don't resist it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, this person needs to be my friend.
Yeah.
You know, let it happen.
Yep. What were some of your difficulties, buddy? Mm.
Well, I mean, obviously, I suffer with whatever, low self-esteem and anxiety or whatever. And most people would not fucking think that looking at me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm very outgoing and... but like inside in my head, it's like there's a lot going on. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So.
We get that. Exactly. We all have that.
And we all have that. But that's the thing, is like we do share this common bond or whatever. You know what I mean? We're all, you know, suffering from addiction. And with that comes the anxiety and the crazy thoughts that we all have. So that's where the common ground is. And that's where, you know, you go to start mm-hmm. a relationship around here. So I would always... you know, reaching out to people. I mean, initially, not when, you know, when I was a newcomer, it was hard for me because it's like, I don't know, you're the outsider, you know what I mean? And everyone's, you know, having laughing and it's just very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So it really takes getting out of your comfort zone and pushing yourself to like have a conversation and finding some common ground and, you know, that kind of stuff. But we share, when we talk about our feelings and emotions, we all share those kind of like feelings and emotions, and that's where, you know, relationships can form. Mm-hmm. So like that's kind of what I focus on, not outside shit, not politics. Mm-hmm. Bring that into something, everything's gonna go haywire. Yeah. So, you know, I just try to keep it simple in that area. And that's, you know, I don't know. I haven't had really trouble making friends either. Whatever, everyone tells me I'm a likable guy. It's true.
Why is he shaking it?
Everyone likes me. I don't like
this. This is
it's like me.
What makes you more likable?
Hold on a second.
Exactly.
It's like, I feel bad for him.
That's what it is. In my head, I'm like, they're just pitying me. It's cool. You know what I mean? Like, I'll just play this pity card, but. You know, I'm trying to move past that. It's whatever.
It's like when you're...
We got to press the pause button real quick. Sorry, you go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, it's like when your mother makes you have a play date with the weird kid in school.
Like, fucking Brad. Yeah. Oh, man.
It's like when you play date with Brad.
Brad he just smells. Brad just explained...
I did get that, actually.
I was the stinky kid. It was terrible.
He just explained his whole Brad methodology to how he approaches things. That was deep. I like that. He's talking about keeping it simple and mm-hmm. how he approaches. That's well thought out. I can see the anxiety now.
Yeah. Here it is.
But it is. Like, I feel like we just got some words of wisdom that have been hidden away in there for quite some time.
That's like the whole, like, isn't that cool? That's like the whole kind of communal, like, perfection of these things. We are not perfect people, clearly. You know what I mean? Like, we as individual human beings are not perfect.
Yes.
However, there is like a unity that's found where, like, like, it is perfect, like, the impact that y'all have had on mine and other people's lives. Like, in a sense, we need, like, you know, like, AA has Bill and Bob, right? Two very different people that, like, formed this society or whatever. Like, Bill was the salesman, and you need the guy who can do the talking and get the da-da and walk into the room and feel confident and get the da-da. And, like, but Bill was a little too, like, he wanted to make money off this stuff.
Yeah.
And then Bob was, like, was the quiet, Bob was the guy who was quietly in the house, meditating and praying, just knowing that there had to be service to others on a quiet level. And like the union of those two people made what is this sort of like thing. Now we need the Bills and the Bobs. You know what I mean? Like, we need Brad and we need what Nathan brings, and we need what I needed, what y'all individually brought. And then in that way, it's perfect, even though we are all not.
Well, at all. You could take it even deeper and think about, you know, what drives all that. It's just our desires to inherently want to better ourselves. You know, that brings us together and brings our personalities together to build these types of relationships, all in the effort of building a better life for ourselves. You know, so.
And to help others.
And to help others do the same thing. Exactly. And
that's having a more meaningful life.
Yeah.
Instead of ripping and running and doing shit.
I agree 100%, but, Donnie.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I want to open it up to you guys. Does anybody have a talking point or a question that they would like to introduce?
I have one that I was kind of kicking around in the last couple of days. You know, it's been a while since I've been new to meetings. I have been in the same area of recovery the entire time. I've seen a lot of people come and go, you know. I've had friends, close-ish friends of mine, close friends of mine pass away, you know, which is definitely almost certainty that that's going to happen when you're in this type of community. And I guess the idea I was kicking around is, like, when you see somebody who's new, you don't know them, they're new to the recovery process, what is, like, the number one, maybe number two thing, number one, number two thing to express to them as they come into this, as they turn this corner and get into this new way of life of living clean, that, because it's easy to scare people away. Definitely easy to scare people away. What would you say is the most important thing to avoid that when interacting with these people?
That's a really good question. We're going to start with you, Matt.
What are the one or two
things that they have
the attraction?
To make people want to stay.
How do you attract a
wild animal? What do you tell them? Like, the first one or two things that would come out your mouth to a newcomer? Like, this is what's most important.
I think to bring them love in some sort of way, because there is a reality to just, like, if you're washing ashore around us, you know, something's going.
That
something's,
is such a brilliant metaphor.
Washing ashore.
Holy shit!
It's like some Born Identity.
If you're
Inception, just Leonardo, just shit. There's a body here.
Ain't it like that though? You know what I mean? It's like, if you're washing ashore in front of us, or if you are darkening the door of a 12-step meeting or whatever,
darkening,
like,
the door.
You are. Can I talk? What is it?
Stop saying such witty metaphors.
Okay,
can we let the man talk?
When you show up, your life is probably on fire. You're probably close to death. You probably don't have faith in yourself, let alone in us, you know what I mean, or any human thing, you know what I mean, at that point. And ironically, that's where we kind of want you when you get to us. It's like, because it leaves room for us to love you and for the ego itself to experience that, which is like power enough to then walk you into, like, okay, like, if you're here, like, what is the problem that's actually killing you? That's the one thing that I was up against all those years, man. Like, y'all have 12 years or whatever each or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, and like, I had this blurriness between me and you of, like, that the ego created, where it's like, I don't know what message you guys were delivering me, but I do remember the love I felt from you. So I always knew to return to you. You know, but I had to have my own experience in, like, my first step, which has been, as you all know, this stop, start thing. And I really had no idea to vocalize or put into language what was killing me. And I don't know. I'm sure you all were expressing, like, what I was up against. I'm sure. But it's like that.
It's heroin, dude.
But you know, too. that like what I know to be true is like that's not just it with me. I'm you know, I'm a bad case where sobriety is a problem
that
too.
Just, that was just a symptom of Matt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the you know, and so like, but when like this cracking of the ego occurred where like something could slip in, where like some new direction would occur, where I would actually stop just doing what I've always done, you know, it was like I knew that the love that y'all had created 12 years prior and like fostered and kept me around no matter what too. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like you're like bad Matt, you know what I mean? It's just like, no dude, it's like you're a sick little fucking animal, you know what I mean? Like, but you need to like,
we just put some floaties band on your arms and casted you back out.
So that's what, because the other side of me wants to be like, oh, what you gotta do is get really clear with them on what the problem is and how screwed they are and what they need to do in order to, and like, no, like that's Donnie not effective
said, yeah, you can scare
that also off. Isn't effective, like not really, you know what I mean? Like you gotta Brad Walters them, you gotta just love them and invite them to some shit. You know, you got to invite him on a hike on a Tuesday afternoon because for some reason Brad's free that time. You know, like you need David, you know, taking you to Taco Bell at midnight when you don't have a car and going to get a cheap DVD to watch at the Caden House.
I know that's right.
And it's I know that's right. You know what I mean? You need Nathan Cook letting you sit there while he plays video games. Yeah. You know what I mean? But not inviting you to play the video games. I'm just kidding.
You don't know how to play.
And I didn't want to. You're absolutely right. But I was so like to just sit there, to be there. Like with and then of course, like the you know, and then come on, Donnie. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Donnie.
Just always.
Donnie's
just,
Donnie's just the rock. Always there. You know, he's always there.
He's the Renaissance.
Right, always there.
Yeah. Just straight line. You know, it's just like, so, I think at the base of all those things is love. Like, so, like, to offer love to some guy who's, like, shaking like a leaf or doesn't know what's going on or whatever is probably the right approach. Although, there's, like, again, there's a part of me that wants to be like, you gotta tell him what's wrong with him. And it's just like, you gotta love him first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, I feel like just starting off saying this is important because it's kind of just where I'm at, and I think it'd be important, you know, if somebody's listening and feels the same way or maybe struggling with it. I don't think I'm really struggling with it. I think I probably have room for improvements, or I definitely have room for improvements, you know, always do, but like particularly with this topic, in that I'm starting to become, because of COVID and having kids and really my time to do things shrinking and just random things pop up, you know, like one's sick and, you know, where my wife works. I mean, we both have careers, you know, not just, you know, jobs or part-time. One's part-time, one's full-time. Like, both have full-time jobs and two children under 3 years old in diapers. So I don't want to say it's my recovery is jaded, but it kind of is jaded, you know, right now. Yeah. And it's okay. It's fine. Like, I like where I'm at. And it's where I need to be. And I'm not in the sense that I'm like, oh, FNA and stuff. Like, oh, no, I'm loyal to my 12-step program. I'm loyal to my sobriety. My wife is clean and sober as well. And it's kind of like the whole basis. I mean, I'm here. Like, this is my friends are people in recovery, you know, even up north, you know, if I'm not with you guys. But, you know, it's hard for me to...
I don't see them inviting you to a podcast, but that's okay.
Dude, I will do this.
Not saying we're better.
You know I can talk. I will do this every... as often as I can with having two small children. Yeah. I love this. Seriously, like I said, like I need to have a podcast myself. Because I just... and I just don't have time to talk. You know, I don't... I'm listening a lot, which is not bad. But I don't have time to talk like this. So, and it's like kind of piggybacking off of what Matt is talking about in that... well, I kind of forget how it's relatable. Honestly, now that I'm saying this, but still, like as I speak further into this podcast, like that will kind of reveal itself more and more. But I need to be talking about recovery. I know that's where I need to improve. I need to talk about my recovery more. I need to be more present in it, and I'm trying to make more time for recovery only stuff. Mm-hmm. But because of that, like I sit down here and I just want to talk about football and I want to talk about the Will Smith slap and crypto. Oh, that's how it relates to Matt. It's because like you just love them when they come in, right?
Yeah.
And so you don't have to be like you were talking about, like, well, what are you going to do different? Blah, blah, blah. Like you just like, hey, man, what'd you think about that Will Smith thing? You know what I mean? You just sit down, have a normal conversation with them.
Yeah.
You love them through that, right? And not just drilling them and be like, Matt, what are you going to do different, man? Sit down.
It's like, well,
if you want what I got. Like,
right, you're right,
man.
Right,
I don't.
You sit in the front row and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's a value to that too. It's, you know, I mean, at certain times and places, but like,
yes, there is. No, there certainly is. The tough
you're,
love,
you're right.
The tough, but like you said, it's all connected. We all have a role to play. And right now my role is a little bit less about that and more about just living in recovery, you know, yeah. Living clean. Right. And that's what Chip's sending me. He's sending me the Living Clean excerpts and not the Just for Today's in a recording. I don't know if anybody.
I'm not on that.
But he's sending me one every day, and it's just like Living Clean. And it's like one quote was about gold-plated recovery. You know, once you get like a lot of clean time, like, you know, our predecessor Donnie here with 12 years, he's got that gold-plated recovery, right? Sure. But the quote goes like, you know, but if we don't keep our basis in check, we're due for a gold-plated relapse. And I was like, damn, that's a quote right there. So, you know, the Living Clean book is good.
Listen here, yeah, Nathan, your issues got issues.
There you go. Yeah.
My brain needed a deep clean.
Yeah, so, but number one, like, so, you know, that's me being wordy because I'm a wordy guy. But number one, to keep it simple, keep coming back. Mm-hmm. That's for me because that, you know, you're not going to get the love the first time. You're going to get, if you want what I got, because he's always there. Yeah. You know, he's there 7 days a week. I'm there once a week right now. You know what I mean? So I can, if you need that certain type of love that I have to give you right now in my journey, you need to keep coming for that, you know, to get that, right? Mm-hmm. So I think keep coming back. And that's my story. It's most people's story, man. Like, you guys know, I was on Suboxone for a long time. And I built the foundation for our relationships on it. Maybe not ours. Okay, yeah, it's still. Yeah.
Oh, no, I think you threw it out the window. We were just hanging. You were ill when we first started hanging. That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, he had a car.
Yeah.
And I didn't, and we just rolled around.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. You know? Yeah, that's right.
In LeBron.
I remember the day you...
Is that the LeBron, Cavalier? Baby. The Cavalier. Yeah. Cavalier. Eric, huge instrumental piece in my first day clean. Yeah.
Eric, you played an enormous role in my life, too. Just want to...
Yeah.
Don't think we forget your compliment. That's Eric. Coming at the end, buddy.
Oh yeah,
Eric. Anyways, yeah.
Oh, we're getting him.
The man behind this, truly the man behind the scene.
We owe him five compliments.
So anyway, I don't think I have any. Keep coming back strong. I like that. Okay.
I'd say one of the first things, sort of a derivative of the love concept, because that was my first thought, but then I was like, oh damn it, Matt stole my answer. So I had to think.
We argued. You stole mine. Just
okay.
That's rude.
You're so handsome.
Yes, but I'm good looking.
My big thing, which I really had to look at, like, my story and honestly 1, 2, 3 other stories, Brad, Matt, and Nathan, and I'm sure Donnie's was the same, was in addiction, the loneliest room in the world. Mm. Like, you were in a lonely room, I was in a lonely room, you were in a lonely room. Mm-hmm. And I feel that's a common recurring theme with people that are coming in. It's that they're, at least they have the perception, like, they are so isolated from everything out there, all the relationships, all the bridges they burned, everything. So in at least in their mind, emotionally, psychologically, they are this lonely person that they can't find that connection. And my thing is just to simply avail myself to that person. And like, I've actually just had to go through this with my cousin Mac, who just got out of rehab, and his family like reached out to me, and because they're in Ohio and I'm in Maryland. All I could do was avail my time and my words to them. And that's what I try to express to somebody who's first coming in, is that you are not alone and I am available. And that's what we do. We give out our phone numbers and like we tell you, call us. Like you don't have to do this alone. And like, even though you might not see it right now, we're a lot more similar than you realize. And we can grow together, and we can learn to love ourselves and other people through that. But like, I think just a hair ahead of love is just that availability of another human. So that's the first thing that I try to impress upon anybody out there who's struggling. And it's just like, hey, if here's my fucking phone number, if you need me, call me, I am available. And it's paramount, I think. So that's just, at least you're just like opening the door. So yeah, that's to not scare the feral raccoon away. You just crack the door and put a little treat there. You'll come in at your own leisure. We'll figure this out.
The door is open. Just push it.
There you go.
I've taken recently to taking their numbers too and calling them because they're not gonna call. Mm-mm. A lot of the times.
That's cool.
That's a pro move. It's selfish in a way too, because it's just like when I like reaching out to them, like does serve my spirit. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, so serve my spirit.
It's like,
hello, serve my spirit.
Yeah, I'm gonna suck you dry, bud.
I'll take what little you have.
I'm so empty inside. I need you to fill.
Hey, but there's nothing wrong with that. That just goes to show that person really wants to talk to me.
Yeah, and you're not sucking anybody.
That's the point.
Obviously, you're not doing it just to be selfishly ambitious, like.
No, yeah. You're trying to fill up their cup. You're trying to share what you got into their cup.
I have to.
Yes.
Yeah, it goes without saying, but it is important to clarify, too. I like that approach, too, because you just never know who's listening. Yeah. I like how Donnie said that, because you just don't. Like, it's a two-way street, and you know that. You're filling their cup just as much as they're filling yours. Yeah.
What about you, newcomer guru? What do you say to the people?
BW.
Hey, I have nachos. I have a house. Do you like board games?
I'll say that. Yeah. Or I'll get real profound and say nothing and just listen.
Oh.
Mm.
Okay.
Damn. Mm.
All right.
Just listen.
All right.
I'm not even going to say my answer now. I can't.
No, you can't. That,
sometimes that's just what you need, someone to listen. I don't know. You know, y'all answered all the right answers, so it got to me. I even forgot what the question was. So I'm like, I don't know.
I'm coming to you. Yeah, what are you saying to me?
That was so deep. He said four words, and we're like,
to not scare you away? I mean, honestly.
Me too, man.
We got
to
cut it down.
To honestly not scare someone away, you listen to what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you nod your head, and you say, keep coming back. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's the simple answer.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't always happen that way, but like that's, you know, a good way to go about it with a newcomer. It's like they're coming in sick. Like I came in sick and I wanted to share what all my crazy thoughts and throw up on everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's what I needed to do. I needed to go to these meetings and I needed to just throw up. And, you know, people would say, awesome, man, keep coming back. You know what I mean? Like, I've never heard anyone drop that many F-bombs in 2 minutes sharing, but that was me, you know what I mean? Just dropping F-bombs. But like, that's what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
So people listen to me, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's something that's pivotal for someone new coming in, is they just need to share what the hell their shit. You know, we've all done fucked up shit. So if, you know, I'm talking to a newcomer, they're going to show me their fucked up shit, I'll say, I did the same fucked up shit. I can relate. You know what I mean? How can I relate to this person? So that would be my answer.
That's a good answer.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that's a total curveball. We're all like, what are we going to say?
It's like,
no, I'm going to receive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good shit.
Wise old Al.
Yes.
How do you answer your own question?
To answer my own question, because I've been in the situation where somebody was just like, hey, Donnie, come, this guy's new, come talk to him. And I'd just be like, and it's kind of like what Matt did. It's like, how you doing? How you feeling? You know, what were you into? Where are you at? This stuff, just like bombarding them. And I could tell it was just like making them a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't like to do that really. And like Nathan said, I need to be better with that as well. Because, you know, I've had experiences with like new people and people in recovery who just like, by me interacting with them, I get inserted into very uncomfortable situations, you know, and I just like, ooh, I don't want to, ooh, you know, that's messed up. I don't want to have to deal with that, but that is selfish, you know? So, that's an aside really, but like, and that kind of conditioned me into like, you know, let other people breathe, you know, make the connection, and then I'll be like, hey, you know, how's it going? Welcome and all that stuff. But yeah, if I'm the person, like the first contact, like I think that the message I'd like to convey is that this is, you know, this is a safe place. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be honest here. Like, you're welcome here, and we want you here. You know,
Well, hopefully one of us talks to the aliens first, because otherwise we're screwed.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's just like a matter of like, because whatever.
Brad's just going to listen. So we got the best shot with him, really.
Yeah, yeah, we'll send
Brad. I don't understand what you're saying, but you can keep coming back, buddy.
The aliens will be like, this enigma of a man. So I must study him.
I used to try to want to say something profound to be like, wow. You know?
Oh, like, yeah. Like, yeah, like, definitely.
Wow,
oh, yeah.
He knows what he's talking
you're,
about.
You're reaching the bag of tricks for that knowledge bomb.
That's going to ego. This guy. Just, that ego. Just
like, that's what I hit so David with. That's why I hit David with that.
Oh, yeah. You know he pulled out the fucking ace of spades.
And every once in a while, I want to be the wild card to throw out the ace of spades.
Yeah. You said something similar to me, too. You were like, yeah, man, I seen you out there. I'm thinking you'd probably end up here pretty soon.
Yeah.
You said something like that.
Yeah, and it's one of those things because, you know,
and I love it.
Like what I
love
it. What I talk about sometimes is like when I found myself in the program in the recovery community, I basically had to admit and accept the fact that I had been living my life completely wrong, and I didn't want to make that admission.
Yeah, you
know, I thought I had it all figured out, only to find out that my God, did I screw that up?
Yeah,
you know,
Donnie, I still don't want to make that admission.
Right?
I still don't.
Yeah,
all the things that I could do better right now that are like affecting, that are unmanageable in some kind of way.
You need to call my wife in here. I love you.
I
don't want to say it because then I'll have to change.
Yeah. Well, right. There we go. It's that admission's like, wow, you know, I relied on and used drugs as a crutch for so long. It's like that was the answer. Mm-hmm. You know, then come to find out, like, wow, that is the opposite of the answer. That's just more of the problem, right? So, you know, and whether people that are new in a meeting or first time you see them, if they're ready to admit that, that's on them, you know. But I just like to convey the message that, like, this, you know, this is a safe place. You're welcome here. Mm-hmm. You know, like you were kind of saying, just love them first. Let them know that, you know, I hope to see you again.
Yeah.
You know? And if you're not coming back clean, keep coming back, and you'll eventually come back clean. You know, and listen.
Yeah.
And just listen to what people have to say.
Yeah. And, you know, like, it might sound stupid, but, like, one of the things you can tell people and just convey to them is be like, this shit's free, dude.
Yeah.
Like, anybody can have this. Mm-hmm. And you can just come in and have it. All you have to do is
it's a free support group.
Shit, you don't even have to ask. It's free.
Exactly.
Just come in, sit down, listen.
Therapeutic value of one act helping another.
And if they seem open-minded to what I'm saying, I'll be like, here's a schedule. These are the meetings that I like to go to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they won't really have, like, proper schedules right now anymore, but, you know, circle it up. This meeting is here. This one's there. You know, I don't want to smother them. Like, come to this one, then go to this one, then go to this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, that you're making a plan too far ahead.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to go to another one tonight, there's another one.
And that's what I did with my cousin Mac. Like, I Googled, like, where his area was in Ohio.
Yeah.
And I was like, here, man, this is what's available to you. Show up.
Yeah. And it's just like the people you meet, they're going to be just like you. They think the way you think. And just listen.
Yeah.
That I think that's what all y'all are talking about is like the spiritual principle of invitation. Bringing in, like, inviting along with us.
Yeah, it's totally, it's the attraction.
Yeah, and the invitation. Like, come with us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because, like, I don't know, I'm like, well, it's just like, I think there's just a lot of power, and as I'm sitting here with you guys now, I'm just like, there's a lot of power in, like, the principle of invitation you've shown to me over the years,
and
from the gate, you know what I mean?
Just saying that is like what that, like, put in my mind is like sending somebody down a road versus, hey, let's walk down this road together.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that, yeah.
What does it say?
You need to go down this road. No.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, I'm headed that way too.
Yeah. It puts us all at the same table. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think there's something.
We
sort
are
of,
at the,
like,
same table.
We are the same
small table.
Yes.
What is it?
Eric, can we get a bigger table?
Two sets of footprints came out of the water. Or
something.
That's what I'm thinking though. Right now is like, that's like a teach a man to fish kind of thing. Like, let's walk together. You know, it's a. You could send them down the road and. You know, or you could walk with them.
You're going fishing? Is that what you're saying?
You going fishing?
Yeah.
You going fishing? I'm not a big fisherman.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to be. I used to be.
I like to fish. I don't like to eat fish.
I like one fish too.
You don't
like
piece of shit.
I know. Red fish. You don't like white fish. That's
the one thing. Donnie's such a good friend, dude. He remembers the specifics. That's so good, man.
That's the one thing about you I always remember. He does not like white fish. Don't serve him cod.
That's the one thing. Got it.
That's the one thing. That's it.
That's so impressive. That's an impressive detail. It's still true.
I don't know why I.
I've been in so many rehabs, dude, and they always serve that fish. You know what I mean? Like from a bag.
It's a garbage fish anyway.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, garbage fish for.
Who else has
a garbage man?
Does anybody else have a topic?
I had a thought that popped in my mind.
Love it.
And because we briefly Nathan touched on like unmanageability, or I heard the word and I was like,
yeah,
you know,
that's a thing.
I kind of want to know, like, a question, like, what today, you know, what unmanageability?
Let's go.
Do we
let's
have go. In our lives today?
God damn it!
Let's and go.
I thought this was focused on early recovery.
No, we're switching it up.
My wife is going to listen to this.
No rules,
Brad. I knew we were going to ask a question.
It's the Wild West in here, dude.
Because I want to know what unmanageabilities do y'all motherfuckers have today, and what are we doing to work on them still?
All right.
I don't know. If this is premature, we can hold that question for later.
That's a fantastic question. No, we're going with that right now.
All right, cool.
Pick your man. Which way are we going?
So bad.
Who are we starting with?
Well, Matt's got to pee, so either start with him or go with Nathan.
Go pee, Matt.
I knew this was going to happen, and the first one to go.
The one who gave me
I
the
can't
idea.
Like. I can't. Yeah, I can't. Like.
You couldn't have scripted this.
I couldn't let David Although talk first and think of something script. Different to say.
Yeah, right.
I currently and always, since the beginning of time, have an unmanageability
video game
with video games. Yep. Absolutely. But now it's more unmanageable because I don't have time to play it and I try to force it in. And what it happens is a lack of sleep. And a lack of sleep makes me less present for my family, which needs me present. You know, I have very mm-hmm. small children. And my wife needs me present. Like I said, we're full time, both mm-hmm. full time. So when she gets off work after working in the ER as a nurse in the middle of a pandemic,
mm-hmm.
she's like, Mama needs a nap. And rightfully so, you know, so, and, you know, when she has off. So anyway, I make my own schedule technically with my job and I'll end up just like sleeping in, and on the back end, I'll be getting home later and, you know, just leaves less time to do life mm-hmm. really. And I know a piece of it, which I know excuses make mountains of nothingness, but you know, if I do say so myself, COVID was quite depressing, and it did kind of push me into, you know, a state where I was only really connecting with people online, you know, and that was already a safe haven for me. So it kind of exasperated through that, and having small children that keeps you like at the house all the time. But, you know, ultimately those are excuses. I just need to nut up and you know, I can admit it all day long, but, you know, me and my wife have this conversation, like, when are you going to start going to bed earlier? You know, when are you going to start? And I'm like, today.
right now.
About last week?
Right, you know, now, babe. I did it, babe.
And she'll be like.
I did it Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And she's like, no, I'll say I did it like 3 days last week. And she'd be like, oh, you mean. 3 days as in just Tuesday? And I'm like, well, you know, but. I know I'm wrong, and I'm stuck in this cycle of unmanageability. And I'm hoping that, like, the fact that, you know, COVID is kind of lessening, and, you know, we get through this first year of my kids being in daycare where the whole family is sick all the time, you know, I can start doing the things that really made me who I am. And, you know, I have my community at the gym and stuff, and, you know, I can get back into doing that, and just other things that make me less depressed. Because, you know, the thing with depression is like, you don't really know that you're depressed until you get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh shit, I've been depressed for a while.
Like, you're like 6 months out of it and you're like, wow, I was really fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, and like I said, it's excuses. I just need to go to bed earlier. It's causing some unmanageability in my life, and it has to do with video games. It has to do with vaping, because, like, I have like my whole zone down there, and some porn too. Porn, you know, disconnecting me from my wife, and, you know, being sexually
tell
present.
Her to give me a call, bub.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I gotta watch out. You know, I got to stop watching that porn. You know, she might go look elsewhere, but no, she wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I relapsed on porn.
But yeah, it's not a long ago. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's definitely, it's hard.
I didn't watch porn for like 4.5 years.
That's great, man. Yeah. That's great. So, like, that's incredible. The thing is, like,
recently that somewhat changed.
It's like what Eric has with the 9 monitors right in front of us, but just one monitor, you know, and it's like a tiny desk that I barely fit in.
Eric is never unmanageable.
He
is a paragon of balance.
Or he just lives in his unmanageability, you know,
and a terrible browser history. Well, so that's what's great about Eric. That's what's great about Eric, though, is he doesn't have to talk, so he doesn't have, you know.
We could just look at Eric.
Oh, he's doing an Excel spreadsheet right now. He's not even listening.
Oh man, I've fallen in love with Excel recently. Okay,
sorry. No, I'm sorry. That's Excel's pretty cool.
20 years late to the
another reason right I hate you.
Organization's fun, you know. But anyway,
for an unmanageable person, it's fun to like create manageability on the screen. You know.
Yeah. Different. No, it is. Like stuff, I'm right? Very OCD as a person. So yeah, I'm glad to be done with that now. Let's move on, you guys.
All right. Which direction we go? We staying clockwise?
Okay. We could go this way and start with the people.
Well, he went to pee, so I thought we were just
going. Sure, let's go this way. Go plus, this is the kids section. This is the guys with the children section. Which our answer is all going to be the goddamn same.
No, my unmanageability is 100% my thinking. Like, it is it's fucking terrible. I will think and think and think and not open my fucking mouth and just cause emotional turmoil in myself. Like, I will create a scenario in my head.
Interesting.
Sometimes with my wife, with my coworkers, in my recovery, I will create a situation that is non-existent.
There we go.
And my my emotional well-being will completely suffer, and I will purposely or unconsciously neglect whatever that is because I have some imagined slight in my fucking head just about like any sort of thing that I just the smallest thing. Like, my wife asked me to, can you do the dishes today? Or just something like that. And I'm like, why do all this shit? I do everything.
There you go. You start keeping score.
Oh, yeah. And it just makes me feel like a piece of shit. Because, like, I'll go down that road, and then I'll realize
it'll come out inappropriately at her.
I'll realize I'm halfway down that road and feel like a piece of shit that I was even thinking that. And dude, I'll be 3 days in.
That's a tour of duty, man. That's a long time in the mind. That's a long time in the mind, dude.
Dude, and it might be longer than that. And it's a fucking problem. It is really an unmanageable fucking problem. When I could literally just do the fucking dishes. Like, just clean the dishes, or do the cat box or whatever, or like do this on this job so I don't have to fucking tell my boss, fuck you, look at like all this shit I'm doing, not like this one little thing that you're harping on. Managing my thoughts, which directly tie into my emotions, is really a fucking problem.
I'm glad you bring that
for a while.
Yeah,
because our thought life is treacherous, dude. Like the mind just does things. It just creates thoughts out of nowhere, and it does. But what it starts to do, like when they aren't exposed, is it starts wrapping around stuff.
Oh yeah,
that has nothing to do with you. Give me and my mind for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yo, I'd be 30 feet away from all of you sitting right here.
It's fucking bad.
And y'all are against me. Like it's just the mind does. The mind just thinks thoughts. That's like what it's supposed to do.
I've done it with Brad. Then, like I'm like,
oh sure.
Like, oh, I think Brad is doing, but like, he's done not a goddamn thing, but I'm like, I texted him. I've done it with you. I mean, like, this son of a... I texted him. He didn't fucking do this.
Texter.
I was like,
this son of a bitch. Right now. A lot of us share that.
It
has not improved. There's my
I can't wait to text you, and it's just like 3 days later, like, what's up? I'm like, oh, I don't know.
You're bad too, right?
I'm terrible at it.
Okay, great.
Yeah, anything, we share that. That's good. Anything can start that downward spiral, and it's often very difficult for me to recognize it early enough to stop the fucking momentum of shitstorm. So I really need to work on policing my thoughts, as Herb would say, and remaining vigilant of what my thinking is, how I'm thinking it, and how it's really affecting me. So, because it'll happen with my depression too. Like I'll feed into my own depression, and it'll get dark. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that is absolutely where my unmanageability is most recently. Like, it's not spending, it's not gambling, it's not like any shit like that. It's really like inside me, and that's mine.
I think there's definitely like a level of it though, that where there's like too much and too little, just right, you know. Like, yeah. I feel like I might be too little because I'm too distracted with my unmanageability or too mm-hmm. tired, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm not thinking enough. Mm-hmm. You're thinking too much, you know what I mean? It's almost like, that's deep, man. I like that. It's real deep. It's like more than just the exterior problems. It's like really the inner inner thinking. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to bring up for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that sounds like I missed something really profound.
It's just interpretation. Okay. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about the inner part of the question. What was the question again?
Oh, yeah. your unmanageability.
His See, question. That's my unmanageability. Yeah. I just forget shit. I don't know. Like, no. But no, yeah, I mean, that was cool. I didn't even really think about the inner part of it. I don't even want to get into that mess right now.
That's deep.
I'd rather stay in the exterior.
It could be argued. Quick summation, my thinking is my unmanageability because I will just spiral into a fictional land of anger and depression.
You'll spin a web of stories. And, gotcha. Yeah. And they're absolutely true.
Well, did you answer the second part of that question? What are you doing to work on that? Real quick. Did you
What am I doing? Nothing.
Yeah.
You want to be honest? Nothing.
I'm not a doctor, but I think you need to see
what I'm saying. I literally just thought that and said that now, so I'm going to call Herb.
Yeah. Promptly. I didn't answer that question either. I would say that I'm trying, but yeah, I'm very similar to David in that, like, I can barely admit it. Like, this was a struggle. Like, I was mad at you for fucking saying, for asking that question. I was like, God, we could have escaped.
We could have.
But at least that was honest.
Yeah. But isn't the argument, though, too, like, sound that, like, the place in which the problem is born cannot fix the problem? Like, so you can't fix you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fix your life. You know what I mean? So you probably have to turn. I imagine Herb is going to have you do some inventory or something. You know what I mean? Like, that's been my experience, Lee, because my thought life is my thought life. I don't have power to not think about, like, get lustful towards some girl with some leggings on. I don't have the power to not, like, get, like, you know, it's all dependent upon how self-centered and how untreated I am that day from, like, anything other than me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I create the problem, so I'm not going to solve them.
Right.
And also, self-pity city starts when the problem then starts shaming me for having the problem.
Yes.
It's just like, self-pity city. It's just like, you see why we shoot heroin and stuff, dude. You know what I mean? It's because this is a state of being for us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it's like, yeah, starting to expose that stuff is like really important. And then probably attacking it from something other than you, you know what I mean, is probably the way to...
Watching Donnie combat get that. Further from the mic as you start talking with your arms is hilarious.
A straight Matt hand.
It sounds like a fight fire with fire kind of thing. Yeah. You can't put out a fire with more fire.
Yeah, so you can't. If I'm creating, if my mind is creating the problems, well, we better not be using my mind to solve them.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like a my own will kind of thing versus God's will. Higher powers.
What do I need to do? You know, I need to call Herb. I need to talk. Just like I said, I need to open my mouth and I need to vocalize it so I can get those practices from Herb to be like, hey, you need to start doing this.
Yeah, and you could. It's sort of like
it begins with the exposure.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like what Scott Stapp said, being in my own prison.
Of the great creed.
What's yours, everybody? Brad?
I'm
not even going to address human clay right now.
That's amazing.
My answer is always simple. I'm simple.
The news today.
Right now, it's golf. You know what I mean?
Very much.
Very much so. I like golf is my obsession, you know what I mean? And it changes, you know what I mean? But I mean, golf's number one right now.
I see why you asked this question now. Now you'd be like, yeah, I'm a golfer. Like, yeah, I'm a golfer. That's a good obsession. Yeah. Like,
It's not.
Good until it's good until it's not, right?
It's, like, I'm embarrassed of mine. Right? Dude, like, I can't stop playing video games.
Right? Well, hey, video games popped up recently, too. I just bought a new game, and now I'm obsessing about this game. So it's anything.
Which game?
Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Oh, dude, it's great.
You got it?
No, I don't, but I'm watching streamers all the time. Yeah.
So
I'm jacked in, bro.
It just switches from one thing to another. 2 weeks ago, a month ago, I fucking played poker for the first time. Texas Hold'em. Guess what I did? Guess what I did? A week later, I bought poker chips. Yeah. The next morning, I bought a freaking found a table. And I haven't played since. You know what I mean? That's the shit I did, which is great because.
Do you remember the vape holder you made?
Yeah.
Like that whole, like, yeah.
Brad unmanageability projects, I guess, is what they've always been. But, like, sick. He would get an idea and then, like,
it would be the best idea.
Like, that's all he would talk about. It'd be like Saturday morning. Yep. He'd be like, dude, I want to go buy a poker table. You're like, what?
Yeah. Like, that's what we're doing.
When was the last time we played cornhole on the cornhole boards we built?
I mean, those lasted a bit longer than
they got some.
Oh, yeah. They're still there, but they're dusty.
Yeah, but how
you get the bugs off them, buddy?
Yeah.
The best thing, though, I will say about my unmanageability is it fucking reminds me of how sick I am and why I need to keep doing what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I'm grateful for my, you know, dumbass who fucking goes and buys a poker table and a, you know, poker chips, because I'm like, oh my god, I am sick. You know what I mean? And I'm still fucking sick and I'm still suffering. I still need to be here. Because I didn't have those reminders, I would walk out the door, because I'm constantly thinking that I could go back and start drinking again or whatever. And then I see it. I see these people doing it. Best friends of mine. Someone, you know, I was working with a guy for 4 years. He 14 years clean. He's now walked away. He is drinking and smoking, whatever. He's doing his thing. But,
no.
You know what I mean? Like, that.
Thank you, predecessor. Thank
God that I'm able to at least see myself for myself when I go ahead and go above and beyond and go buy the poker table, the poker chips. I play golf one time. 24 hours later, I have my own clubs. Like, nice. I'm an idiot. I buy a video game. I haven't played video games in 6 months. I buy a video game I've spent 24 hours on in the last 3 days. You know what I mean? Like, that's where my it's okay stupid. So, like, maybe I don't need to be doing that, but it's a reminder, so that's what I take from it. It's not, but yeah, I could almost turn it into excuse sometimes. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, so, I'm about to turn it into one.
You literally just hit the title of this podcast. Write this down, Eric. See myself for myself.
Ooh, very nice.
God damn.
Well I'm about to justify it, because I wonder how many of Brad's obsessions have saved lives. Because it takes you long to go get that poker table. Yeah. You know,
at least
mean?
I'm taking you on a good ride.
Yes, there's a journey. It's a journey.
It could be a healthy thing, but we just use it in access. You know what I mean?
Don't you know how many people? You start. How many newcomers have played cornhole on those boards?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's exactly. True. Exactly. That's true. Yeah.
Remember your obsession.
Matt even reluctantly played twice.
What's that?
Cornhole.
Yeah,
just
right.
I hate this game.
I know. I'm so boring. I know.
How do you put it? You throw the thing?
Is it in the hole? I don't care.
I don't like holes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was Brad done?
You're like,
might as well be. Yeah.
You're behind the poker table and you're freshly clean.
I'm done. Let's move on. I didn't answer my question. Like, or what was the second part?
What are you doing about it?
I don't know. What about this? Like, I would like to say that I'm doing something. I mean, I'm a. Just whatever. Well, what can you do? You know what I mean? We just try to become aware of it. You know what I mean? And see it for what it is. And then I've started going to, I changed my meeting, my home group meeting, to a meditation meeting. And so that, I feel like the meditation has been helping me. It's something that I've never had in my recovery. I've been here for 10 years. Uh-huh. And I've never really meditated. Yeah. So that allows me now to sit with my freaking self and my thoughts. You know what I mean? And meditation, for me, what it is having all these thoughts come in and seeing them for what they are and then letting them go. Yeah. You know what I mean? And moving on. And a lot of times it's just jumbled up crazy nonsense, and I don't even, I go in left field and I'm judging people and whatever. All this, but that's
the mind.
But it is what it is.
I have not meditated in so long, and I guarantee that's part of the problem.
Oh, yeah. And what's helping me with that, I can see it helping me, because, like, with patience and anxiety. Like, when I was sitting here at the beginning, I was doing a little bit of breathing, you know what I mean, to calm myself down, because I was anxious. Yeah, so I had anxiety coming in here and talking, even with you guys who were great friends.
focus on the breath. Yeah. But you know that from doing guided meditation. So if I make a recommendation to you, David, do some guided ones.
Oh, no. I used to meditate a lot.
Okay.
All
right.
Good. I haven't. You know,
and then like letting the thoughts pass. That's all. That's important because that's what you think of.
Yeah. And then also just realizing it.
Matt's got something to say.
Hey, a good thing that we're really...
No, not at all.
Keep going, Brad. Yeah,
I forgot what I thought.
You got the floor.
What was I going to say? The good... I guess what you can... Realizing it and then accepting like, hey, this is a good thing and this is how it's changing my life. That's... Now I can move forward and I can continue to do that and see that it's helping and I'm going to continue whatever in that process. You know what I mean?
Beautiful.
And that's why I've stayed here. You know what I mean? So whatever. I don't know. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
I'd like to divert to Matt for a second.
No, I was just so excited. Just like the meditation itself, if like I had like pinpoint one thing most recently and in the last like couple years that like was introduced to me and like shown to me and like I was given great direction into it, like it has changed me. And like, you know, like it really has in my like how I experience you. Mm-hmm. Really, because I was so identified with my mind. You know what I mean? Like I didn't realize how it's like I am my mind, and I have no idea like that's why I was so exhausted all the time. You know what I mean? It's just because like the mind does what the mind does, but when you can like observe the thoughts rather than be the thoughts, it's like meditation is like that. It helps build that muscle between the thought and the observing. It's just like it's just really really cool to hear you saying that you've like found benefit too from it, man. Because like I can see now why I shoot heroin, dude. It's just because like my mind is trying to kill me.
I think that was probably part of the sleepiness as well. But, you know, who knew why?
The sleepiness.
Yeah.
Dude, I have this thought. I have to get it out because I'm laughing to myself so hard because I'm imagining like Brad, the newcomer in a Walmart, and you're like freshly clean newcomer, you know, and you're like explaining him and just throwing up and like, and then she said she never wanted to be with me ever again. And then Brad's like, yeah, sorry, bud. What do you think, a collapsible one?
It's like, should I get the one with the leather or the faux leather?
Ooh, this one's signed by a famous poker guy I just knew about 24 hours ago.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, in unmanageability, thank you, Donnie.
That's funny.
So, what's unmanageable for me right now?
That's funny.
I guess you could say externally would be like this, and the simplest answer was just like I need to be more on top of like progressing in recovery, you know, not just sitting still because, you know, once you get clean long enough, you know, and I guess I can only speak for myself, is that like I don't have any desire to use, you know. I don't want like that. I'm not going to get any cleaner than I am right now.
I was hoping you were going to say that. I love that saying of yours.
Yeah, after 30 days, you're as clean as you can get.
I missed it.
You know? You just got it. And you just say it again.
I'm as clean as I'm going to get. My body is the drugs out of my system and long since gone out of my system.
I wish that weren't true sometimes, though.
I wish I could get better.
Flashbacks, huh?
So the first part of what do they say in the meetings? You know, stop using, lose the desire to use. And that's solidly in place. Mm-hmm. But then to find a new way to live, you know, that comes with doing the rest, you know, doing the steps and involved with service. Like I've been heavily involved in service for a long time, but like I have yet to finish 12 steps, you know, in 12 years, I'm on 11, you know, I'm like
guilty.
I'm like the tortoise, you know, I mean, that is, it's not like my life is unmanageable. My thoughts are not like driving me to act in an unhealthy way or anything like that. But like, it's like what people say all the time. It's like, hey, if you're not working the steps, it's like, what the hell are you even doing here? I'm just like, yeah, right. What are you talking about?
Fucking idiot.
You guys. It's like, yeah, you guys.
Hey, you should do those.
But so like, that's an easy answer. Like I have everything. I've got it, and my,
what step are you on again?
11.
Okay,
I finished 10, and I'm yet to start 11.
Dude, 9 years. I'm on step 9.
There you go.
We're the same.
Well,
we're the same.
Chip
with that.
Is a slow with the step.
Process. Yeah, he doesn't. Well, he doesn't push you really.
Right. Neither does mine.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. But anyway,
I like it.
Well, Chip's great. He's a good.
Well, man. I mean, I'm sure you like it too. I mean, you said it's your own pace. You know.
Yeah, and my pace is too slow because that leads me into the going deeper is that I have unmanageability in comfortability.
Ooh. When I get
it's like a harmonized tone.
so things are comfortable. I don't need to do anything else.
I don't want to use. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to use today. Mm-hmm. At this moment, I don't want to use. But, like, what could I do? This is not the end. There's mm-hmm. more to do mm-hmm. in life, you know? And so this year is... I kind of, you. Some of you remember the whole idea of me picking a word for the year, mm-hmm. right? And I didn't, you know, this year the word is invest. Not just, I'm not in the monetary
sense. Not crypto,
sense.
Nathan.
I only invest in the S&P 500, so that's.
Jesus.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Anyway, invest. So invest. Not, you know, I have.
Was that an insult? I don't know.
No, I invested in real companies. Anyway. No, the point being is that invest, you know, I have started dabbling in the whole monetary invest, but invested in myself, you know, because like I've been at the same job for 7 years and probably 70% of the time I don't like it, mm-hmm. you know, and it pays the bills. You know, I've been in this routine. I go to work, I do this, you know, and what do I do about that? You know? I'm comfortable.
Go back but to also, fucking work. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's what yep. we do. I'm comfortable in it, bitch. And I don't like it, but I'm going to continue to do it because it's safe, you know? And so
I think, 95% of people can relate to that?
Well, yeah, but, like, yeah. The point being is that, like, what this past year, last 2 years, the great, what's the word? Resignation. The great resignation. Everybody's left their jobs. I think they realize that, like, I can do better. You know, and, you know, opportunities come and go, and I have an opportunity now. And usually the fear of change outweighs the fear of actually doing, mm-hmm. of changing. Mm-hmm. So I don't do anything.
Yeah.
So this time I think that I'm going to let the fear of change be less than the fear of changing. Mm. And I'll actually do it, you know,
because, do it.
And because like, and I'm only speaking about the job. Like, it's a good opportunity. We'll talk more about it off air. It doesn't need to be on here. But, like, but just, like, overcoming that fear and, like, stepping into the possibility of something better, you mm-hmm. know, because my mind will tell me, like, this is as good as it's going to get, mm-hmm. you know, which isn't bad. Plenty of people could just, like, live out their days doing the same job. And that's great, you know. But, like, if I'm not feeling it, sometimes I might be like, shit. And, you know, my mind will tell me, like, God damn. You know, well, here we go, like, another Monday, but.
Damn it, Donnie.
Gotta do it.
Got a case of the Monday.
Yeah, right. And I can't do anything about it, but just, I can.
Imagine Donnie's head talking to Donnie. And he's like, darn it, Donnie.
What a
conversation. God bless it. God bless him. But so that unmanaged. So what do you do to fix that? It's just like you become open minded and let the universe present and accept the opportunities that come your way. You know, if that's, you know, put out the vibes, like, this is the change I'd like to see and see what comes back. So by no, you know, plan of my own, the person I know hooked me up with somebody. I had a conversation. They're just like, sounds good. Let's have you talk to some other people. If that sounds good, you could probably come on board, just like that. Wow. Nice. Cool. I didn't have to do anything, you know.
Oh, yeah. What was this for?
A new job.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. I remember years ago when you were trying to get into the FBI.
See,
who the fuck is the FBI hiring if not Donnie?
Not true. Like,
what
very
kind
true.
Of turds are you bringing on board if not this
it
guy?
Wasn't, yeah. It wasn't them. It was somebody else.
No, I know. Yeah.
So you was went from it? The bank.
I thought it was the FBI.
Still at the bank.
But okay, but you're looking at something new.
Yeah, something else.
Yeah,
something
else. Out of finance.
I'm open.
I'm becoming like, open minded. Like they've like presented themselves.
They presented themselves.
Is this still in
which
finance?
Almost, which is perfect. Yeah, it's for you.
Which almost feels, and this is like, I have a sense of survivor's guilt sometimes. Like, you know, like, oh, it's plenty of people bust their asses trying to find jobs and stuff like that. It's like, why do I get this mm-hmm. opportunity that mm-hmm. just falls into my lap? I feel like since I didn't have to do the work.
Because you were ready, you know? And you were waiting.
And so,
you know?
But and just,
you're qualified,
and just be open minded to the changes that are coming. You know, I've been in this, you know, relationship with someone who's not in recovery for 18 months now, and it's going great. So as that
and
develops,
she's a peach,
and she's just a diamond. You know, she's a diamond.
She's great. I said peach. He said diamond. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. He just Freudian slip.
Recorded, he had to wow
you. It's a Freudian slip.
That could have been a hint. That could have been foreshadowing.
He really meant that too.
And I don't know. Oh, hell yeah. And I don't know, man.
Like, what's in the sock drawer at home, Donnie?
Hit up your old pal, Nick P.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, and that is scary.
He said diamond.
And that was scary because, like,
who does diamond?
My unmanageable. Sometimes
my friend of yours.
Sometimes my unmanageable thinking will tell me, like, you know, I don't deserve that. Like millions of people do that all the time. But like that is that
and that's
that,
people in early recovery. It's like, can that happen to me? I don't deserve to get better.
It's like, can that happen to me?
12 years in too. That's what our mind does. It tries to take a good thing and ruin it.
Yes.
At certain times, at certain day. Other tomorrow he could be like, you know what, I do deserve it. But today it can creep in with a thought. It's just a thought.
And then you just roll
it.
Does
what the mind
does. What David said. You know, you spin the web and tell the story. It's like, oh, this is gonna crash and burn.
Blah blah blah
blah blah blah. But anyway, to do something different is just to be open-minded to things that come along. That,
you know. How rude.
it's just what the mind does.
I'm just kidding.
That. I think it's very...
And I'll close, and I'll sum it all up with this, is that when I was early...
In conclusion.
In summation. When I was early in recovery, I had a bad day, and went to this meeting. I didn't want to go. I showed up late, and I heard this woman speaker. I don't remember her name. I don't know if I ever saw her again. It was Last Chance on Sunday, back when it was like the place to be on Sunday nights. This woman talked about how she was afraid of stepping into her own greatness. And I was just like, that just like, wait, what? Mm. You know? Wait, we all have the capability? Like, we can all do that. Yeah. We can all be great, you know? And it was just like, and that's kind of what this ties into. It's just like,
investing in your own greatness.
You can get comfortable in the mundane.
Frank used to say something like that.
Yeah. And so, but anyway, Frank. That's what it had to
Frank.
Good old Frank.
Good guy.
That's a name drop.
What a spirit. Yeah. Huh?
So, anyway.
We all have been touched by so many. I'm sorry.
But that's it. That's it for me.
Matt literally touching down. Yeah.
So that's me. That's my response.
All right.
I love that you two are sharing a mic. You guys are my favorite.
That was a nice callback to our choir days, by the way, that harmonized ooh.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was good, yeah.
Hold on, you take this there.
You guys,
Eric,
and your harmonized
days. I think we're about out of time.
Matt hasn't gone yet on that question.
Yes. Did we ramble way too long?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, real quick, I want to go round table, starting with Brad. We're going to give a compliment to Eric. Actually, I'm going to start. Eric, dude, you're... This podcast was your fucking idea, man. You brought it to me, and I couldn't be happier that you did, because like, this has enriched my recovery and just broadened my horizons to what I think recovery could be, and gotten me in touch with people all around the world. And this was your brainchild. Like, I thank you. Like, you're one of my best friends. Love you, dude. Thank you. Go.
Well, what are we doing? Sorry. Well,
Eric.
Oh, God, yeah, Eric's the man. Yeah. And that's funny, he recommended this because now he can't get us to shut up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, too bad, Eric, sorry.
He's like, we stopped recording like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's like they were recording
at
all.
He's like playing a game, he's like doing something else. He's moved on.
He's watched all of Dune.
Yeah, oh, that's, I like that. Dune was pretty good.
The original.
Anyway.
Yeah, so Eric, yeah, I mean, obviously he's been instrumental in my life and in my recovery. And, you know, always the man behind the curtain, you know. So, you know, thank you for doing this. And thank you for supplying us with a wonderful place. I will accept an invite anytime if you guys, you know, want to have me back. I love to talk. But, you know, I think one of the biggest things that I get from Eric is from recovery related is his – making sure he honestly he's kind of like pushes it, and I love how demanding he is it of me to recognize the importance of being on Suboxone and not to like shit on myself for having that time, because it was so important you know, for my recovery. Like I wouldn't recommend it, you know. I wouldn't, and I'm just gonna, you know, pretty much just say this is just my story, but like I needed it at that time, and Eric is so keen on reminding me of how it got me to where I was. I need to respect that. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there on drug replacement therapy, and we need to be welcoming to them. You know, we need to, like we were all talking about, that important thing, love them. And I, you know, if not for Brad's love, even though he knew I was on Suboxone, and like probably going in the bathroom and taking a strip if I'm hanging out with them all day.
Because falling asleep in wheelbarrows on the job.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Good old days.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Good time.
But David, too, Donnie, and Matt as well, you know, but and Eric, Mr. Eric. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yeah, Eric means the... Here, let me do this. Eric means the world to me. And I know he's very uncomfortable with this right now. So what I will say yep. what I will say is that...
especially since we can't reply. He just doesn't take it.
I know. Since we're all 12 steppers, one of the things Dr. Bob said to Bill before Dr. Bob died was like to not fuck this up, basically. He said like louse it up or something. Like, don't louse it up. And then he also said... one of the last things he's like recorded saying is like, please carry... the principle of demonstration, or you know, I'm paraphrasing it, but carry the principle of demonstration into all your affairs, and only if absolutely necessary, use words. Mm-hmm. And that's Eric. Ooh. Only when absolutely necessary does he use words.
Yeah, right. Eric is a Bob. Brad's a Bob too. You know.
Yeah.
I'm a Bill. I'll just swindle you.
I know. Yeah. I'm a Bill.
Oh, you're 100% a snake oil salesman. You son of a bitch.
Me and Mac are like foxes. Yeah. We got the wise old owl Brad over here.
All right, Donnie.
So yeah, I remember the first time I remember meeting Eric is when I lived with Lawrence and. I think Brian Fisher brought him over, and we were playing cards or something. God,
Brian F, bro.
Sorry, oh Brian F.
That's fine.
Wow. Sorry, Brian.
There's been a lot of name drops.
Yeah. So and I was just like, I don't know. I have a problem remembering first times I meet people, but I remember meeting Eric, and you know he's had his journey, and he's settled quite nicely, and so. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, but I don't mean like settling as in like settling for less.
No. I'm aware you're not saying settling.
Yeah. No. I mean, what I'm saying is he's built
a Donnie thing, like settling.
What I mean that is that he's built a great life.
Yeah, of course.
And he's somebody I can turn to as like a model, basically, mm-hmm. you know, as a follow in the footsteps, so to speak. Of like, mm-hmm. hey, Eric, how'd you do this? Mm-hmm. You know? And in the, he can take an issue, like if I'm talking about something, and basically say one sentence and been like, oh, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, he has perspective.
Yeah, the amount of perspective and non-judgmental responses is just like, mm-hmm. yeah, he's very
accepting. Takes both sides of the coin. Like, yeah. He's always thinking about that other
very
side.
Very objective.
Yes, very objective.
And it's very insightful, so.
I really like your hat, too, Eric. Go Thank Ravens. You,
sir. He's a good man.
All right, Brad.
Best for last, huh? Yeah, I like Eric's attire mostly.
Right? Absolutely.
Like, check out those socks.
He was hipster before hipster was cool.
He designed his own clothes back in the day, if y'all remember the sweatpants.
Oh, the overalls.
The jeans.
The overalls.
Yeah. Oh, the overalls. God.
And I love that about someone, Absolutely. Though, because someone who can, you know, just be them is mm-hmm. awesome. So, like, I admire that with Eric. Tremendously, because he just doesn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? He doesn't care what anyone thinks.
Like,
you know what I mean?
He actually and doesn't.
Yeah, literally doesn't. Yeah,
I get so price. Much out of people like that because me, I'm the opposite. I'm like, oh, I hope everyone accepts me. Yeah. And then Eric's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm wearing my goddamn sweatpants. Like, fuck y'all.
You I'm know wearing I mean? My Russian mafia crushed velvet tracksuit.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Velvet's amazing. Okay. Velour is also
amazing.
Velour.
Yes. A velour. I've never had the pleasure chance to wear velour on my body. Yeah,
You've been missing out.
I'll get like when I get 10 years, then we'll. Yeah,
there you go.
That's what you get when you get a decade.
All right, I'll finish up.
Yeah,
it's like the other thing I admire with Eric, and y'all were already touching on it, is like his perspective, and he's always like, you know, looking at the other side of the coin or whatever. We'll be talking about one thing, and then he'll always have like a question. It's like the devil's advocate or whatever.
Right.
He'll
right,
switch yeah. it up and he'll make you think.
Yes, I
love,
he will make
I
you
love
think.
Someone who's going to try to make me think because I don't think very well. So, if someone's going to ask me a question, I want it to be a deep question and like to change my thought process. And that's what Eric brings to the table. He brings to the table in recovery too, because like multiple times getting in whatever, you know, recovery conversations. And what also,
what if you
outside.
Thought about if you tried this?
Exactly.
No, but there's a certain fearlessness to him, the way his approach to it is, though. Like, he asks you and doesn't even bat an eye. Like, questions about
yourself.
Because he
doesn't give a fuck. He's wearing a velour tracksuit.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't fuck with that guy. He's invincible. But seriously, like, it'll be a deep question about yourself, and you'll stop in your tracks, like Brad's talking about. It'll make you think, and you're like, well, fuck you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's your first next. And then you're like, wow, hold on a sec. Like, that's deep. Yep. And I think about it for months.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's got a big heart, too.
Yeah.
But he's also an asshole.
Big fart.
But he means well when he's an asshole, because a lot of times these people are assholes. And fuck them. You know what I mean? All so, cool. Anyway, all right. Go ahead.
Well, I want to thank you guys for joining all of us today. This was fucking amazing. This was even surpassed everything I could have thought it would be. Brad, Donnie, Matt, Nathan, love you guys. Eric, love you as well. Everybody who's listening, we love you too. We appreciate you listening to our long-windedness. I'm not going to go into our whole spiel. Just go to all of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Like, share, subscribe. Join our Patreon to become part of the podcast recovery family, because we are self-supporting and need help keeping the mics on. So most importantly, everybody out there, stay safe and stay clean.